Otter got up.
I'd like to welcome everybody to the August meeting of the Upper Trinity Groundwater Conservation District Board. We're meeting here in our offices in Springtown and online. If you're online and wish to participate in the meeting and discuss something, one of the items on the agenda, if you would hit the chat function on your phone or your computer so Doug will know and let him know what topic. So when we get to it, we can call upon you. I'll call roll. Director Reynolds?
Here.
Director Lusk?
Here.
Director Knave is out of pocket. Director Flint?
Here.
Director Micah?
Here.
Director Bradley?
Here.
Director Berkeley?
Here.
Director Messler is here. We do have a quorum. Brevity, please stand and join me in the pledges to the flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
How are you doing?
Acting a lot better.
I get officially released tomorrow.
And if you'll show, we've opened the public hearing at 5:07. Public hearing to receive any public comments, requests to contest, and the general manager's report and recommendations regarding the following applications for permits, permit amendments, and or requests for exceptions to the district's water well spacing or minimum track size requirements. Item 1A, applicant is BV Mountain Investments, LLC out of Granbury, system ID 214P. Doug?
Yes, sir. So this is BV Mountain Investments, and Kyle, jump in and correct me if I get anything wrong. He's one working, been working with this stuff for much more than I have. So basically, this is an RV park. They've got two existing wells. Recently have added some RVs, and they've come to our attention, their TCQ system. Is that correct? They reached out to us, yes. Correct? They reached out to us, brought this to our attention. So they've registered their wells. The two wells, one of them, they just recently registered, correct? They got made sure both wells got registered. We went out and looked at them. Did we go and check in? I don't think we did on this one. But we got the wells registered, and we got an application for an operating permit. Again, it's just an RV park. Was there like 75-ish?
50.
Okay, so 50 connections, currently looking to move to about 75. And they plan to utilize the existing wells. This is just north. Let me turn my laser pointer on here. It's just north of Weatherford, right off Highway 51. So if you look at allocation available, you know, based on how we allocate what we lay out in district rules, it's average thickness of the aquifer below the property or the depth of the deepest well, whichever is shallower, multiplied by 500, multiplied by the acreage owned or controlled. So aquifer is almost 500 foot deep, 450 foot deep, but the deepest well is only 240, multiplied by 500, multiplied by 18.161 acres that they own, comes out to just under 2.2 million gallons per year. They've requested 2 million gallons, and that request is based on 75 RVs, once they expand, using about 70 gallons a day, plus an additional 100 plus thousand gallons per year for loss, incidental, or unexpected use. So that puts them up to that 2 million that they requested, just over that 2 million they requested. My recommendation is approval of the permit as presented in the volume of 2 million gallons per year. And I'm happy to answer any questions. I believe there's a few people online with BV Mountain Investments, with the RV park. If the board has any questions, I'm happy to answer. I'm sure they would be as well.
Board have any questions, General Manager?
Are they going to put any storage for this?
You guys, do y'all already have storage facilities, storage tanks? I'm guessing they probably have to.
Yes, sir. We have two 2,500-gallon storage tanks at the moment.
Could you identify yourself for the record, please, sir?
Sorry, I'm Brandon Behealer, owner of BV Mountain, DBA at Cozy Hill. And we currently have two 2,500 gallon storage tanks at the moment.
Board Ant, you have any other questions?
How much is it producing? How much are the two wells producing right now per minute?
So you're looking about 20 gallons a minute. 20
gallons.
Total. Yeah.
50,000 a day max.
Right.
Okay.
Anybody have anything else? Do you gentlemen have anything else?
I don't see anything, Tracy.
Not. You've heard the general manager's recommendation that we approve his recommendation of 2 million gallons a year. Do I hear a motion?
I'll second it.
I've got a second. Do I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Director Reynolds, second by Director Micah. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. And show 7-0. I'll close the public hearing at 5:12. Move into our regular agenda item. Item number one, consent agenda, which is normal and customary non-controversial items on the agenda. Any director can pull any item off of this and be discussed separately. Included in the consent agenda this month, approval of minutes from the regular board meeting of public hearings on July 17th. Approval of bank statement entering July 31st, approval of investment report, payment of bills or invoices received through August 14th, reimbursement for expenses incurred on behalf of the district through August 14th, and approval of requests for extension applications submitted through August 14th. No one has anything they wish to pull. I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda. Motion by Director Berkeley. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Director Flint?
Oh, Bradley.
Bradley. I'll get it sooner or later. All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item two is moot. We didn't pull anything. Item three, discussion regarding proposed amendments to the district's investment policy, including possible adoption of Resolution 25-003, adopting an investment policy for the district and take necessary action. Doug?
This is... We're required to readopt our investment policy every year. Changes, no changes. I have no changes. There was no legislative. There's nothing came out of the legislature this year that requires us to update our investment policy. And neither our legal counsel or myself have any other recommended changes. So I'm just simply presenting the investment policy as it exists and recommending readoption.
For our new board members, part of the state requirements and requires somebody to be designated as an investment officer and be trained and take CEUs every year. And we threw Doug under the bus.
Yay.
And he watches this for us and brings this to us. And Director Berkeley has chaired our finance committee, I guess, from day one, correct? That is part of how this works on that. And occasionally either Doug comes for recommendation and we change something, or state requires us to do something. But there are no changes. Do I hear a motion to, I guess, renew our investment policy?
Yeah. Oh, we need to adopt Resolution 25-003.
Okay. Is that Director Reynolds?
That's Lusk.
Lusk. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Director Micah? Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Discussion regarding fees charged by the district, including but not limited to the adoption of Resolution 25-004, setting water use and transport and administrative fees, and take necessary action. Doug?
Yes, sir. This is another – we're going to – just FYI, guys, we're about to blow through our meeting today. It's a real short agenda.
Before Channing gets back in here.
Yeah.
He's walking around the corner.
I was seeing if he was going to miss the whole meeting. So each
year, show Director Nave showed up for this item on the agenda.
So again, something else. Each year we have to readopt our at the minimum our water use fee, our groundwater use fee, and then we've also the last several years in the same resolution adopted our fee schedule. We have not changed. So currently we charge 22 cents per 1,000 gallons for our groundwater use fee. Groundwater transport fee is half of that, 11 cents per 1,000 gallons. We have never changed that. That's been the original fee that we set when Tracy, Mike, when y'all set that, I guess, back in 08, went into effect in 09. So that's never been changed. We also have several other administrative fees. As you can see, well registrations, permit applications, renewals, exception fees. But you can see the list here. So I put some recommended changes together. I met with the executive committee, Tracy, Shannon, Bob, and Mike, what, last week, I guess, to discuss.
I was on time for that.
You were.
You were on time here. You were eating, I guess. But based on that discussion, we're recommending the following changes to our fee schedule and our fees. And if you'd like, I'd go through each one and kind of give you some background. The groundwater use fee, it's just we've never changed it, right? Cost of doing business, cost of everything, cost of keeping employees around is increased. You know, we can generate it's not a non-significant amount of revenue by increasing 2 cents, which will cover the increased costs that we've experienced just due to inflation and then mainly, you know, growing staff and then keeping staff, right? You know, it's hard to keep professional. We lost Blaine last month or earlier this summer. I mean, it's hard to keep professional staff, right? We can't compete with the private sector, but we do our best. Just to keep the transport fee half of the groundwater use fee, recommending bumping that up one penny. The operating permit application. So when we adopted our permitting scheme in what, 2018, 2019, we adopted the permit fee that went into place in 2020. And it was a guess, right? We weren't sure how much time it was going to take staff to work on permit applications. Currently they're $400. What we found is that was not covering staff time to work on them. And then I've got it on the next slide. I'll show you some other districts to bring it in line with some other districts. I'm recommending increasing the permit application up to 1,000. Again, permit applications. These are folks that are applying for public water supply wells, commercial wells. These are folks that are either selling water or using the water for a commercial activity, right? Operating permit amendment application. We set that as very low. What was that right now? It's like 150 and 250. And the amendments take almost as much work as a new operating permit. So, I recommended increasing that to 500. Compliance order application, that was an oversight. We've never actually had a fee for our compliance order. In the 5 years since we've updated our rules, which authorized a compliance order, we've only seen 3 compliance order applications. So it's not that big a deal that it was an oversight and we failed to set a fee, but I think it's probably a good idea that we have a fee for it. Compliance order, it takes staff treats that just like a permit application. We do the same amount of work. It's the exact same. We present it to the board in the same way that we would present a permit application.
And if I'm correct, all those compliances have come in the last 12 months.
Two of them did. One of them came about
came the year in.
One of them came the year before that.
And we will see more and more of those as,
right.
There are a number of our PWSs that they don't have any more room.
Right. The well completion report deposit. I don't know why that got highlighted red. That's actually not changing. The next one is why it should. I guess they were connected. When I hit enter, it just stayed. The fee. This is a new fee. The fee for exception requiring notice and hearing. So we charge an exception filing fee. So that's every exception, right? Even those lots that are platted prior to 2009. That it's just we treat it like any other application. It's still an exception. We file. Record with the county clerk so that any future homeowner or any future purchaser knows that there's an exception to our rules attached to that property. And so we've always charged that $50 exception filing fee to cover our cost just to file that on the deed, right? However, this is, I think, Prairie Lands charges this fee. Every now and then we have an exception that is required to go to the board. Maybe it's a public water system that wants, they don't meet property line spacing, they don't meet well-to-well spacing. Those have gotten few and far between in the last, I mean, very few. We don't deal with those hardly at all anymore. And then also, if somebody has a 2-acre lot and we're saying you got to be 50 feet off the property line, and they're just like, no, I want to be 25 feet off the property line. Well, that's got to go to the board. So that would require notice and hearing. So anything that actually requires notice and hearing requires significant extra work for staff. So we're requiring adding a new fee for any exception that requires notice and hearing. And the last two changes, so we've been doing a lot of geophysical logging in response to a lot of the GACs that are being done. You know, we have the equipment. We don't mind doing it. We set the fees at $100 for one hole, $700 if we come out and do two holes at the same time, because a lot of times that's a fake case for the GAC. It's working okay for the cased holes, but we recently started logging uncased holes, open holes, which require at least two staff. We can log a cased hole generally. Jacob's pretty good at logging it by himself. With an open hole, you've got to have two staff there, and it takes all day versus doing it in a few hours and being done.
A higher risk to equipment.
And there's a much higher risk of losing equipment downhole because, well, it's an open hole, right? It collapses on you. Of course, we only do that if it's a driller that we trust that can open to keep the hole open for us, right? And so I'm recommending keeping the $400 for a cased hole, but doing away with the discount for the two at the same time, and then changing it to adding $1,000 for an uncased hole, just because of the extra time and risk. And then finally, I'm recommending adding a fee for amendment to an approved registration, GPS amendment. You guys never see these. It's probably unbeknownst to you guys, but we deal with hundreds and hundreds of these a year. And many of them require a second or third trip out to a site. A lot of times I tend to think, and you see my field staff over there shaking their heads. A lot of times what I think is happening is drillers aren't even going out on site to get GPS coordinates for a well. They're looking up Google Earth. They're picking a location on Google Earth, submitting an application. We approve it because it meets spacing. Then they get out there with the rig and be like, we need to change the coordinates and we need you guys to do it right now because we're sitting here trying to drill it. And so because of the additional work, I'm recommending adding a simple, you know, a small $100 fee for an amendment to a GPS.
Comment on the fee for exception requiring notice. That was an oversight on our part. When we set that, we did cover our cost of filing it in the courthouse, but none of us thought about there's staff time involved in all that because you've got to go to the courthouse and do this. You've got to prepare the documents and stuff.
Well, it's just,
we just, as a board member, I'm going to take part of the responsibility. We just flat didn't, we covered the, well, we pay the county. We didn't cover our costs.
Right. Well, it's not just, it's preparing material for the board meeting, yeah. Right? I mean, it takes staff time, you know, for Kyle or for somebody to compile all the documents, to put a memo together. I mean, it takes time for us to prepare that, right? And right now that's an unpaid cost, right? It's just something that's a cost that's not covered.
I've got one other question.
Okay.
The amendment operating permit amendment application.
Mm-hmm.
If it's taking you almost as much time to do that as the original one, I'm not sure that half the original cost is sufficient.
My opinion is it is. It's not going to take as, because we've done a lot of the legwork, right? Generally, unless something's changed with the property boundaries, we're not having to go in and refigure how much water is available. Because sometimes that's easy. Sometimes it's drawing on a map. Here's the thickness. But sometimes Jay spends days going and deducting out acreage for registered wells within that CCN.
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit more work. Typically, we don't have to do all that. We have to go through and make sure nothing's changed, right, since the last time. But there is more work than the $250 we were charging.
All right, if you're comfortable with that.
I need clarification on something.
Yes, sir.
Where it says groundwater availability certification, what if a banker is getting ready to finance some pieces of property?
Uh-huh.
And the banker contacts this place and says, we've got a 5-acre piece of property that wants to finance, but there's no wells in the area. Do you know the availability of the water in that area before I can finance it?
Yeah, we wouldn't weigh in on that. We would not weigh in on that other than providing publicly available information like well reports, models.
That's the whole point, is that I'm just reading the name.
So groundwater availability certification is an actual statutory requirement for developers
that.
To put
I just want to make sure that I'm going for clarification.
Okay.
So that a property owner, a future property owner, because we've had this several times, have bought property and there's no water.
Right.
And so they only have very few places to go to find out they have water. And this is one place before they want to invest the money.
Right. Well, we'll help people find, but that's not what this is, right? That's okay. Not tied to that. There's no cost
for clarification.
Right.
And it's called groundwater availability certification review fee.
I understand the purpose of it, but I just want to make sure that there's not a misunderstanding.
Right.
On this page, one item I had, don't know that we need to add it this time, maybe something to consider next time we look at it. If we have the geophysical logging fee and we're going to do an open uncased hole, do we want to have a deposit of $4,000 or $5,000? And if we lose our equipment, they forfeit that money because they didn't keep the hole open?
That's, I don't know what we want to do at this time, but that's not a, I mean, it's a discussion to have.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring it up. Yeah.
Right.
I don't, as I said, I don't know that we need to do it now.
Right.
I think that's something to consider. Right. And I think we're probably losing more than $4,000 or $5,000 worth of equipment if it is lost.
Yeah. I think the Gamma tool alone was about $25,000.
Has that happened?
No. Knock on wood.
It hasn't happened to us, but Tim lost a camera.
Yeah, camera's cheap compared to that other stuff.
No, I know we're dealing with. Lost some equipment.
Is it covered by insurance?
It is. Yeah, our stuff's insured.
Do we have a deductible?
We have what?
A deductible.
I do not know what our deductible is on our policy for all that stuff.
$1,000.
Yes, there it is.
I don't know. I'm just saying that would be very typical.
Right, yeah.
Well, if that's the case, it's $1,000 deductible.
Right.
That's $1,000 to do it.
Right.
And perhaps we don't need to do it.
Right.
But it's something to think about for a further discussion.
Right.
Then we revisit
it. I think it is, because it's a valid thing. As we log more open holes, it's always been, you know, the back of my mind. Even when we log open holes for our monitor wells, it's, you know, anything can happen, right? But fortunately for most of these guys, you know, they're pretty good at keeping that hole open, right? So, and again, it's if somebody came in and asked us to open to log an open hole, and it was I wasn't comfortable with the contractor that was over the hole, I wouldn't approve.
Well, this is an additional service that we're providing.
Right.
That we're neither required to.
Right.
Nor compelled to.
Right.
It's something that we can do to help.
It benefits us because we get good data.
And what we don't want to do is to increase our exposure.
Right.
So we want to make sure that if we do this, we can recoup our costs, gather the additional data, and protect our assets.
Right.
Because they're not ours.
Right. They're the people's. It's public.
Possible suggestion when we adopt this, which means you're going to have to redo the resolution maybe, or the attachment, that when it comes to the logging fee for an open hole, the fee is $1,000 and the deposit is equal to our deductible. That way we don't have to go digging real quick. But if it's $1,000, then it's just...
I mean, it's up to you guys if y'all want to do that.
As Shannon said, this is something we're offering them. We don't have to. Right. We're not compelled to.
Right.
But we shouldn't be out of expenses and losing assets, or in this case, our deductible, whatever it is.
Right. 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 No, it's...
So, and the other point I was going to make, the resolution has an open date for effectiveness. The groundwater use fee and the transport fee by statute take effect January 1.
Right.
The other items could take effect as soon as we want to. So we're going to have to fill that in a minute. And I don't know, we even asked you if you had a recommendation on effective date, did you?
We did. We talked about it some. So my recommendation for effective date, I'm okay. Like, I'm not in a hurry to get any of this done except for the well logging. We're logging some open holes, and I don't want us going out and logging an open hole for $400. The rest of these, you know, there's no hurry on it, right? If we wait until January 1st, I'm okay with doing all of it effective January 1st, with the exception of the geophysical logging fees, and that's effective immediately, would be my recommendation.
Well, we need to have something.
Or as of tomorrow.
People are going to be working on their budgets, too.
So
some of that we can't do immediate. We need to give them at least 90 days.
Right. So none of these are going to be working on nobody that has a budget. The only fee that would impact somebody that has a budget would be the groundwater use fee, and that cannot go into effect until January 1st.
Do we have any information on where that $1,000 logging fee relates to the actual fair market value of what the competition is?
I mean, if you were just to go out and the last time we had a hole logged, Jason, of course, we bought our rig in 2020. The last time we had a hole logged was probably 2019, and I want to say for, you know, 300-500 foot hole, we paid $6,000-$7,000, something like that.
That was going to be my suggestion. I mean, last few wells I've logged have been several thousand dollars.
Right.
Is the value of the data that we're receiving equivalent to the risk of the equipment and the availability for that $1,000 fee?
I think so, because if we – so, for example, a lot of these we're doing because it's a requirement that goes along with the GACs now, right?
Okay.
And if, let's say, John Doe is developing some property and he's got to produce the geophysical logs of both holes. If we go out, if they pay us this minimal fee, right, which is we're a government entity, we can't profit. It's just to cover our cost, right? We get the raw data. We have the raw files so that we can then put in WellCAD. We can manipulate. We can make nice, pretty logs however we want. If they go out and pay somebody $5,000 to do it, we get a PDF.
Yeah.
Right? It's really hard to do anything with a PDF other than look at it, you know? And
unless we required them.
Right. But I don't know that we can.
Are we requiring them to give us the log?
That's in statute.
Can we define what the log is?
Nope. It just says they have to provide us a geophysical log.
$1,000.
And I know, Jared, when we set this up, that we knew we were well under the market price on this, but there was a benefit to us. I think the main concern I've got is let's cover our costs. So if the well collapses and we lose part of our equipment, you know, we've got an insurance policy to cover the equipment minus the deductible. Have the applicant cover the deductible, whatever it might be. And then we still get the benefit. We're still well under the cost of what you'd have to get from private industry. So more than likely going to get all these logs.
Right.
So we're going to have the data. If, you know, and that's just my opinion. I don't know how the board feels about it. And we could delay this till next year and include it in next year's resolution when we get around to this or whatever.
These kind of
ways. But as he said, you know, he would like to have it effective as soon as possible. I was going to say September 1. On what you need quickly.
Right. Yeah, we're logging holes, and we're bleeding. If it's open hole, we're bleeding staff. We're losing money just on staff.
Losing more than we're comfortable with.
Right. I mean, I'm sending at least one PG and then another full-time staff out.
Yeah.
And historically, before Blaine left, we were sending two PGs out, right? And it's just staff time to the district is.
How many do we have scheduled for the next 2 weeks?
Jacob's not here. Do we have many? I don't think there's any. I know there's some GACs have come in, but I know we had a couple applications for two GAC wells. So there's at least two that are going to have to be logged.
How often do we have an uncased one?
We've done three in the last. No, it's just started. I mean, like literally just started. And I would say, was it two or three we've done? Two? Right. It's like three of the last like five have been open.
It may be a situation where our logger is not available until September 1st.
Right. Right. Well, and we were called to put together an application for the logging, and we put on there it's at our availability. Because Jacob was getting stressed because he had drillers calling him, be like, I need you out here right now. I was like, no, I got you working on something else. So we'll go out there when we get there. If they need it right now, they can go hire somebody.
Logging
open hole? Nope. Again, my discretion.
Well, are they drill on there, or is your only on fluid that you're logging?
I'm not going to let them put that equipment down an open hole unless they've circulated mud in there and kept and holding that hole open with mud.
Well, I had to ask.
Jacob went out one, and we had got there, three times? Because the driller decided they didn't need to mud up until, 100 feet down. And after the first time, Jacob's like, it's not going to work, right? You got sand cascading in from up here where you didn't mud up, and that's exactly what happened. So they went back in and drilled this new hole with mud, and it worked fine. But no, I wouldn't approve them doing one unless they've circulated mud and are holding that hole open with mud.
From memory, what do you think the deepest hole y'all have logged has been?
Was that just almost 1,200 foot?
The one down.
Yeah, we drilled a test hole down in Brock. Our wire line it only goes to 1,500 foot.
Yeah.
So that's the deepest we can go.
Doug, a couple of comments.
Yes, sir.
Well, registration application fee, $600. Is there any way or any value in saying it's a different application fee for exempt versus non-exempt?
So we talked about that. So the difference in that, so if it's a non-exempt well, they have to submit a permit as well. So they're already paying that additional, if we adopt this, $1,000, because there has to be a permit or a permit amendment that goes along with every non-exempt registration. So that covers the additional cost for that.
When did we go up on to the 600? Do you remember?
2018. Went into effect January 1, 2018.
Okay.
Kyle's first day.
And one other question. You made the comment. It may have been I misunderstood you or whatever. You said the GPS amendment for approved registration. Yeah, GPS amendment for approved registration. In discussing that, you said we may go out there two or three times.
They filed a well registration, but they're having to go back out the site to confirm the GPS.
Well, it seems to me you were suggesting a $100 charge for that. Would it be more appropriate to say maybe $100 per trip? Because each trip is not our fault.
Right. So Prairielands does that, don't they? I didn't want to nickel and seem like we were nickeling diming. Typically, by two or three times, we may get two or three amendments for one registration. You know what I'm saying? And so based on this, every time they amend it, they would have to pay us another $100, right? So that's what I meant by two or three times, Mike, is right now we may approve a registration. The driller shows up. Yeah, we don't want it right here. We're going to amend it. So we got to go back out there because they're sending coordinates that are 30 foot from property line because their GPS, they're not getting a good signal. We go out there. We mark it where they want it. Then 3 days later, they call back. Well, the owner didn't like where we put it. We need to amend it again.
We had one of those earlier this year.
Right. We don't have them earlier.
We had it before the board earlier this
right.
year.
Right. We have them weekly. And so what this would do is basically every time they ask for an amendment, they're going to have to pay another $100.
So we get there.
Okay.
That way.
And any other question is, if you recall, I don't know, several years ago, we had a deal where somebody had a dry hole
mm-hmm.
and complained about paying for the application to get as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to indicate no non-refundable on that?
It's already on the application.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
No, we put that on the application a long time ago. It says
that's when it happened.
No, it was on there before then.
Okay,
it says it's non-refundable on there, and there's also a statement on there that like there's no guarantee you're going to hit water.
Yeah. Might be jumping the gun, but what's the total projected revenue increase from these fee increases?
What do we think is probably about 100, 120 grand a year?
I had about, I'm figuring 110 to 120.
Right.
Well, and I think you said for every penny increase.
For the water use fee is about 40 grand.
40, so that's 80 of it right there.
Right. And that would cover, you know, I'd prepared, you know, I'd mentioned to you guys on the phone the other day, I prepared a rough draft of a budget with the new staff and salaries. And with our current fees, we're covered, but, you know, my thought is moving forward in the future, right? You know, we got to keep these guys around. So I want to make.
So with these fees as you're proposing, then that would be enough money to cover some of these unexpected occurrences.
Correct.
Is that where you're going?
Correct. Okay. And things like, you know, maybe we don't have to tighten the budget and push off replacing a computer a year. You know what I'm saying? Push off stuff like that.
Okay. Or stretch a vehicle a year longer than we should.
Right. Right. Things have just gotten a lot more expensive than they were when we adopted the original fees.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
I think with the infrequency of the increase in fees, but the frequency with which expenses go up, I think this is certainly a fair and equitable increase. 10% over what?
15, 16 years.
16 years.
Yeah.
I can assure you that every input cost you have over the last 16 years is more than 10% higher than it was when you started.
Right.
When we increased the well registration fee, it went from 150 to 600. And for the background for the other board members, because I think Don's the only one that – were you here?
I was there.
Don was, Mike, and
the 150 Shannon. Was a WAG. You right. all know what a WAG is.
Right.
And I got that because I came on the board about 9 months in, but they had already settled on 150 and freely admitted they just took a guess.
We took a guess on everything.
And then after – about the time we hired Doug, I asked him to do a cost analysis on what it really cost us to handle new well registration. Because the bulk of our staff work was new well registrations and usually exempt.
Right.
And he came back and he recommended 400. We went 6 thinking we could push this out 7 to 10 years. Well, we're 7 years into it.
Yeah.
We probably need to take a look at this one next year, run another analysis, see if we can stretch another. The idea being we're going to get over more revenue to begin with, and it's going to come down, then we're going to have to bump up and not do this every year on new well registration.
Right, and that's kind of the goal with a lot of changing fees. You don't want to be up in your fees every year, right? You try to do it with – at least when I thought this out and put this together, I was thinking, you know, 5-10 years out, right? Let's do something so we don't have to do this and have this thought for a while. Well, kick the registration fee. I didn't – just because I'm one of Tracy had said, you know, maybe next year we consider the registration fee. But at this time, I think we're good on that. A lot of our work has transitioned to more on the non-exempt because of permitting, the GAC review. That we're spending a lot more staff time on other things now than we were five, six, 7 years ago.
When we did this and changed the new registration fee, the bulk of the work was that and not commercial. It's now starting to shift, and it's now a larger percentage of our work,
right?
Workload.
Trace, are we supposed to have discussions now or have a motion and discussions?
We can have a discussion before we make a motion, too. Anybody else have any other questions or anything?
Is there any mood for a deposit on the geologic?
I'm going to make a suggestion that we adopt the resolution with the effective dates for everything except the water use fee and the transport fee of September 1, with the amendment that we include for open hole geophysical logs, include a deposit equal to our deductible.
Okay.
And that way, if we have something that gets lost, we aren't out of pocket out of our budget for that year.
Is that on top of the 1,000?
On top of the 1,000.
Okay. And that's deposit. So
we don't know what the deductible is right
I'm
now.
I'm good with it.
So if we log the whole day that we get back in the hole, we're successful.
I'm good with it.
We just send the deposit.
We'll make sure we were doing that's over and above.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I'm good with it.
You want to make the motion?
I'll make the motion.
You make the motion. So you got that, Ann? Right into the table, took care of it.
Doug and I had that conversation. He might be a little light on what I think, but I'm gonna roll with it.
We have a motion and a second to adopt the proposed resolution 25004 with the attached fee schedule. with the notation that the water use fees and transport fees are effective January 1, that all other fees are effective September 1, and with an addition that for geophysical logs for an open hole case, the fee is $1,000, and there is a deposit fee equal to our insurance deductible.
Right. Yes, that is right.
Everybody understood? Did I state that okay?
Yeah, clearly enough? I think so. Okay.
Stated it well.
Doug, can you live with that one?
Yep.
All right. So we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
Yes. Do we have any concerns about the fees changing within 2 weeks? I prefer a longer lead time to let people know that those things are coming. I have no problem with the logging fee changing, because I have a feeling our logger may not be available for the next 2 weeks.
Right.
And so that's probably fine, so that we can cover the cost of doing that.
What's your thoughts?
I think the fees for the water, those are statute, so that's not a problem. I prefer the others that we give people the ideal, 60 to 90 days between the time we take action and those take place. If we have drillers who are ready to come in and submit things next week, or commercial entities that are about to make amendments and things like that.
I
like the idea of that, but if the mood of the table is the 1st of September, I'm not going to vote no.
I really don't have any problems to any of you guys. Then I would suggest we amend the motion.
3 dates.
But if we do that,
make everything effective January 1 with the exception of logging.
Right.
And it'd be September 1.
So I see what you're saying. And so I'm going to address your question. I'll give you a little bit of a story about what might happen and why I don't think it will happen.
Okay.
So when we increased our registration fee from $150 to $600, when we showed up on January 2nd, there was a stack of like 30 applications on the fax machine because somebody sat there and faxed them in at like 10 o'clock at night on December 31st to get under the old fee, right? That could happen. But having sat here for 10 plus years and looking at the things that were increasing, there's nothing here that we would get an influx of. We may get a handful, but not like dozens. You know what I'm saying? It's just by the nature of this, these kinds of things are longer out, right? So I don't think that's going to be an issue. Again, I'm not concerned at all with pushing back everything except the logging fee. I don't have a problem with it. My goal is I just want it on next year's budget. That's where I want it for sure, right? But the logging, I want that done just to cover the cost right now that we're dealing with.
Would it be fair to propose maybe that we require any request for logging after September 1st would be subject to the new fee, and that would give them drillers that are currently in the middle of a project that are budgeted for a certain dollar figure for the district to be logged or to be the ones logging the well. But a request that comes after September 1st, and that would give you 2 weeks to give everybody notice. If they're at least in the middle of a project, they could request a logging schedule or put it on your board before the fee change.
I am fine with however you guys want to do it.
I think they'd give them a little window of opportunity. I don't know that there's a ton of projects out there that are going to be affected, but I do appreciate those that potentially could be in the middle of a project and change the fees on them.
Right.
So maybe something either 30 days or give them 30 days from September 1 to get their request in. So effective date, October 1, somewhere in there.
Yeah. 15 days. I am fine with whatever you guys want to do. I just don't want to push that one too far down the road.
No. You're going to have to send a letter out anyhow. And I'll go along with what he said. It gives heads up to their establishment that, hey, things are getting ready to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're able to reprint whatever they need to print or whatever.
And again, the fee that you're proposing at $1,000 is probably less than 20% of actual fair market value. So
right. I think they'd pay somebody, a private contractor, to do it. Right?
It's a service.
Right.
I'm with the previous discussion about, not making this punitive, but I also think if you send a $25,000 or $40,000 tool down the hole every time in an open hole, one of these times it's not going to come back.
Right. Right.
So
could we just leave it to your discretion until the date that all this starts?
No, because it's got to be in the resolution.
It's got to be in the resolution. We have to adopt the resolution.
I have no concern with setting a date. What I don't want to do is say, well, if you come in September 30th and make a request that you've got the old thing.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to say October 1st, the new numbers go in, great. If you want to say September 1st, that's great. I just don't want to have another rush where all these people say, hey, we're going to be doing this, you know, in December 15th.
That
the September 15th prices thing.
That is one I could see a rush on. Somebody coming in, we get 20 requests
on one day
on August 31st. You know,
I wouldn't do it by request. I would do it by anything done after this date costs this amount. Period.
I'll go along with that.
And I'm still good with September 1st on that, and that our equipment may not be available until September 1st.
And I believe you said you've only got about three on that you know of on.
Yeah,
you feel the staff's already talked about and are aware of coming down the pike right now.
I could see it though. I could see people getting permission. Like, you know, I know there are projects in the first, and that I can see them needing the service for and just upping that request really fast. So.
I'm going to ask another question. Don't mean to cloud it, but I may be doing it. When do we start our monitor well next round?
September.
September 1, because that ties up some of the same staff.
No.
It won't?
Jacob's pretty much done it. I mean, I've got Dawson and Zane and Clayton are doing most of the monitor well stuff now. And those guys on open holes, you know, Brandon, our new guy, has been helping. He was out there with Jacob all day today. He's already proved to be a hand. I've got pictures I'll show you in a second. He's out there looking through his loop. Looking at some cuttings, but no, we won't. It won't take up. Right. Jacob's not really doing the monitoring stuff anymore. So
the motion was for September 1 on this part, from the second was with the deposit cover to cover our deductible. I don't have a problem with the rest of the fees taking effect January 1. Is anybody else?
No problem.
Just end it. So
you two will have to amend it because you made it and seconded it.
So let me clarify, and if you are okay with the amendment, you can just say
the date you want, Jan 1. Everybody's good with that?
Except for the
January 1 on everything, the logging fees, September 1. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
That was the motion. Yes.
Okay.
And do you want to put anything behind that, Jason?
No, I mean, I would make contact as soon as possible with the ones that you think are potential logging.
We will.
Drillers. And
I'll send out, we'll send out probably tomorrow or Monday notice at all the fees. We can get it out quick.
Are most of those PWSs?
Oh, the logging?
Yeah.
No, they're all GAC, like the groundwater studies, Everything we're doing. We've done a couple PWSs where they've asked us to log it. Newark. We did Newark's, but usually we know about those months in advance. I mean, you know how those PWSs are long scheduled out projects, right?
Yeah.
The ones that come up, like, call us and be like, hey, we need this tomorrow. And we have put together a form. We have an application form now that's got to come through and I've got to sign it. And you know what I'm saying? So I think there's only two GAC wells that I just approved that'll need to be logged. So there's anywhere from 2 to 6 that are probably already drilled or about to be drilled. So we'll let those folks know.
Do we have the verbiage correct?
Yeah.
Or can I just make a motion to amend?
You second?
Okay. I don't remember. Do I need to take a vote on the amendment or the amended motion?
We didn't.
I'm going to take a vote on the amended motion.
There you go. Because we never voted on the.
We never voted on the other one. All right. Everybody understand the amended motion?
One more time.
September 1 for the logging, January 1 for everything else.
I thought that was the original motion.
The original was September 1 for all of it.
Yeah,
October.
All right. So, all right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
we're through with that one. I figured this would be the one thing we'd spend a little yep. time on. So, all right. Management report, Doug.
Yes, sir. The only thing, I've got two things I want to talk to you guys about. Of course, remember a couple months ago, we approved our several rainwater harvesting projects. They've completed the project at the new Fairview City Park. Here's some pictures there. Here's a picture here. Somewhere on here, I've got a little video that I think that actually runs. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe not. But here's the one in New Fairview. They've got that one up. We're going to get our logo put on it, and then we'll have a sign, an educational sign put up soon. This is...
That was running.
Oh, there it was. All right, now it won't. Oh, well. Here's this is up in Nakona, the Tales and Trails Museum. They've got that one put in.
Is it the same company, Rainwater?
Yeah, they put both of these two projects in.
It took a little while to get the tank installer to Nakona, but they were tied up on rescue at, down in
Central. Yeah, the tank installers, they're from Central Texas, that area that went through the flood. Yeah, they were tied up with that, so everything kind of got postponed.
That has a metal roof on the tank?
Yes.
Does it capture water off of that metal roof?
It does not.
Okay.
It goes this way so that it doesn't...
I do understand structures.
Yes, you do. The other thing is the new Fairview monitoring well project. Those of you who got here early, you saw us all sitting here and Jared helping and Jason showed up. We're looking at the logs in there. They hit total depth. They hit TD yesterday. And the first well, which is the 800-foot hole, we've logged it. And we have determined that we're going to be able to get two more, you know, distinct holes there on that site. So we're going to have three monitor wells right there at that site. This is just staff out there. I'd like to point out, you know, here's Jacob up there showing these guys how to clean and look at cuttings. See Zane smiling. Did you have fun out there, Zane? Of course, Anthony, one of our part-time guys, just sitting here having fun. If you know Anthony, that tracks. He's a good guy. It's pictures of Jacob washing the cuttings. You can see. What we're going to do, he's got all the cuttings washed. We're going to do two things. We're going to get some really good close-up pictures of them, and then we're going to make a real nice – on the sign that we put out there, I'm going to have them put together a real nice log, and then next to the log, put pictures of the cuttings. So, you know, from here's a picture of this 10 feet, here's a picture of this thing people can actually see
what's under the ground.
Would it be possible to have one around here?
Yeah, we put those signs anywhere.
Because I still went pushing for that education for these people that come in here.
Right.
Don't even know anything about it.
Right. And this would only be relevant up there, but we would also use these cuttings and I'm going to get a, maybe like a 1-inch clear tube and we'll put the cuttings in there to recreate that borehole. And guys out here, see Brandon, I told you you're in here, man. Of course I don't mention Dawson up there and is over there looking busy. He's not busy.
Good reports out of Nocona.
Right. Nah, Dawson's a keeper. There's Brandon. Of course, I mean, Brandon, is what your third day on the job full time? He's out there with Jacob working. I just wanted to show you this. These are the cuttings we found at the bottom of the hole. There's about 30 foot of this. That's nice, man. And water's gonna flow through that stuff. But that's down right at the bottom of the hole, 760, 790. Feet below surface. I showed my daughter this picture, and she was like, her mind was blown away that these beautiful rocks exist, you know, 800 feet below the surface. And then she's like, can I have them? I was like, well, I'm sure Jacob can find one you can have. And that is all I have on my updates. Everything else has been running pretty smooth. I've got the groundwater summit next week. Jason will be there. And that's it. Are there any other questions on managed and administrative matters?
Wait and see what the legislature does with water.
It's going to be interesting.
Change all of our rules.
Which one?
Well, that we were looking at moving last.
You got it. We got to fix it.
And he was good with it.
He wasn't super good with it, but.
But he took it. The deal. Good. Okay, cool.
Item number 6, review line item expenditures and adopt budget amendments necessary. Doug?
Yes, sir. Had unexpected computer cost. I'm not going to lie. I had to replace, could have waited till next year with Blaine leaving, with Jay taking on all of the in-house work that Blaine was doing, really. And Jay's basically just, well, he's going to be doing a bunch of stuff for us. His computer couldn't run. It was outdated, but also just didn't have the firepower to run some of the software that we want to use, Surfer, which is a 3D modeling. It wouldn't even really run Arc Pro, I guess. So we had to get Jay a new machine, and we bought him a nice high-powered machine because of what he's going to be doing. And it was a little bit pricier than what we had in budget. So I'm recommending moving $2,000 from field equipment over to computer software and hardware.
What did Blaine use?
Blaine had a laptop. Blaine didn't have Arc Pro on his machine. He just had Arc Map, and Arc Pro runs a little bit.
You want to upgrade?
Yeah. So we had to upgrade. He had a good laptop, but I think Brandon will end up with his laptop. But we bought Jay a nice, very, very nice desktop that will do all the things we need it to do.
Does Jay like it?
Jay seems happy. He
didn't have the RAM.
Now Jay can have all the windows open.
And he'll save that much in waiting on the computer.
Yeah.
Have to load.
Yeah. So it was a necessary cost.
Got it.
I make a motion to approve the transfer of the money.
Second.
You got a pen? Never mind, here's one.
Second by
thank you.
Motion by Director Mock, second by Director Flint. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. General Counsel's report.
So Brian had a previous engagement today. So we've got Brad, who works at Sledge Law with Brian, that set in on our meeting with us. So,
yeah, I've been on a meeting before. So mm-hmm. Good to see y'all again. No report this month.
Very well. Thank you.
That's easy.
Thank you.
Our next.
You're much quicker than Brian. Brad.
Yes. Yes.
Legislature doesn't show up. I guess the lawyer doesn't win to either.
Right.
I believe our next meeting is September 18th, correct?
Believe so. That sounds right.
9 p.m.
September 18th.
If anybody has anything to add to the agenda, please do so at that time. Anybody else have anything else? If not, I show we're through at 6:02.
Excellent.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks, Brad.
She's going to have to redo that resolution.